people that make any requests for food or money or even of the most genteel and polite sort after dark, illegal, which have resulted in a significant number of panhandling tickets. I spoke to one of the officers who actually I commended several months ago for a courteous treatment at a traffic stop where he stopped me for not having a taillight on, or actually it wasn't my taillight, it was my headlights. I'd failed to turn them on at dusk, and he pointed that out, and I thanked him for his assistance. This was Officer Northrup. However, Officer Northrup himself told me that he has been writing panhandling tickets downtown on the mall, and these are tickets for free speech actions, for asking for spare change. We're not talking about tickets for abusing individuals, but simply uttering the words, "Do you have any spare change?" Which may be annoying to some of us, and it creates a gauntlet effect. Some people are afraid to go down on the mall, they say, because of that. Some people just find it a nuisance. Nonetheless, we're living in a society where there are real problems and people have real needs, and when they make those kinds of requests, that is their right to do so. We've all got to be grown up enough and adult enough to realize that's the case. Continuing with this interview from yesterday on the mall, where an individual got a misdemeanor ticket. Actually, I'm not sure. It could have been an infraction ticket. It's either an infraction ticket for $162 or a misdemeanor for up to $1,000 and 6 months in jail for vending. He also made the mistake of consenting to a search. The officer found marijuana seeds on him, which he claimed he'd purchased in a store that were protein seeds. Folks may be familiar with the hemp festival that happened a couple days ago. Edible hemp seeds have been with us for a number of years, and they are legal. And the officer, however, the same officer, Richards, chose to write him a ticket for this as well. Again, leading me to believe his interest in this man doesn't have much to do with any real violations of the peace or public order or crimes against other individuals, but is perhaps a function of his having a little too much time on his hands. Let's hear some more.
Good citizens should.
I think the bottom line would be they don't want you in this area, and that's one way to go after you.
Exactly.
Code 4 with ID.
So, what are you accused of vending?
Vending without a permit. Displaying a display case that was not displayed. It's still closed in between my feet. I opened it to show to my friend next to me.
Can I see the
and then
case?
Close it. No, he might give me another ticket for vending without a permit.
Oh, I don't want to buy anything.
That's exactly what he said. He didn't want to buy anything. He didn't ask me if I wanted to sell him anything. He just wanted to see what I had, so I showed him.
Are you saying that this post here, the right, the member of the post, was he a witness to?
No, he's just here with this guy and this guy.
I asked him if he witnessed it, and all he kept saying was, excuse me?
Exactly.
Excuse me?
Just his intelligence, you know? These people aren't very smart.
Whether he was a witness to your alleged crime.
I'm a big criminal for selling artwork.
Officer Richards continues to write out the ticket. So, have you seen this happening much in this area?
Oh yeah, these guys, they took my case one time, and then I went and filed charges against a sergeant, and the lieutenant apologized and gave me everything back. So, I mean, if they want to take my case, they can. I'll just file theft charges against them, too. I'll file a harassment charge against them. I'm allowed to. I researched the laws, so first thing I'm going to do is go to the library and figure out what the law is and file the charge against them.
See it. Never see you.
It's the only way to get back at them is to file charges back. They're people, too. They break laws, too.
Commenting on what Gary is saying, indeed, unfortunately, the only kinds of charges that can be filed against an officer, criminal charges can only be filed by the district attorney, and it'll be a cold day in hell before Art Danner, who apparently is going to be running again for the office for, what is it, the fifth or the sixth time, unchallenged, unopposed, before that district attorney is going to file charges. On the other hand, you can take an officer to small claims court or civilly sue that officer for stealing your property, causing you injury, abusing you. And that might be one way for folks to go. It is a road being used by homeless people in San Francisco whose property is being seized and destroyed by San Francisco police and the Rex and Park Department rangers up there. So that certainly is something to do. And again, the thing to remember here is you have a long, hard fight ahead of you that you have to undertake methodically with witnesses, document what goes on, write down names and times, describe what has happened to you immediately after it's happened, even if you think you know it, either dictate into a tape recorder or write down very carefully everything that you remember and get other people around you to do that as well. And the main effect of this won't be that you're going to get, I would think, any major breakthroughs in court, but that police officers will begin to back off. They tend to back off from people who they know do this regularly. Apparently, Gary has done it once before. He actually complained to Sergeant McMahon. He explains later about his case being taken by one of the officers several months ago, the same case and perhaps the same merchandise, which again were these beautifully formed glass water pipes or smoking pipes, which are not illegal, and which were quite lovely. He finally, we did persuade him eventually to open his case. I think it was the officer who directed he open his case. Again, the idea of one individual in our community having the power to order people around and get them to strip themselves of their dignity and their privacy and their basic rights, as the police department has, is a very serious situation, a very serious responsibility, and certainly is justified in some cases where we have crimes of violence that have to be looked into or serious fraud. But they're obviously being clearly misused, and we have a police state operating when these kinds of processes and procedures are used in day-to-day encounters with people that the police officers decide they want out of the area. Particularly when this goes against poor people, we call it the war on the poor, because it's being done systematically and the laws begin to be tailored for that purpose, as the Santa Cruz City ordinances called the downtown ordinances, as well as our very own sleeping ban ordinance seems to be tailored for. Continuing with this interview from yesterday, Saturday the 28th, incident between Officer Richards and a man on the streets called Gary.
How long ago did this happen?
Before Christmas.
And you know the name of the officer involved?
It was a Sergeant McCullough, I think is her name. And she took my my money invested in arts and crafts 3 days before Christmas Eve and made me broke for Christmas. So I went and filed a theft charge against her, and the lieutenant apologized and gave me everything back.
You do have a warrant in Oregon. I'm going to search and make sure you don't have anything illegal on you.
You
already gave me consent.
So what's happening here is the officer Richards has found a warrant on this man from Oregon, apparently some petty charge, and he's using it as a pretext to coerce him into a search, which unfortunately Gary consents to. Now the reality is, if the police arrest you, and they can do that under a warrant, they can search you, but they have to arrest you, and that's a process that they begin, they have to undergo, they have to take you to the jail, or they can cite you out. But you don't have to consent to a search until such an arrest occurs. The only basis an officer has for searching you is if he is doing it incident to an arrest, incident to a search warrant, which he has to get from a judge, or there's a second circumstance, which is a little more subtle, but again, it should be, we've talked about it on the air before. If you are being detained by an officer who has reasonable suspicion that you may have been involved in a crime, first he is obligated, he has to articulate the facts. Let's put it this way: he may say nothing to you, but you have a right to request. What are you reasonably being suspected of, and why specifically does he think it's you that is involved in this incident? Why should you bother to be allowed, you know, yourself to be detained at all under these circumstances? He cannot search you under those circumstances, except if he has specific facts that lead him to believe that you may have a weapon, in which case he can only give you a pat search on the outside of your clothing. Again, if he requests to do so, the best thing to say is, I do not consent to any searches, officer. What specific concerns do you have that would lead you to search me? Do you have a warrant? Are you arresting me? And he has to articulate what he says. The reason why this is important, though it may produce some friction with the officer, is because in anything that is subsequently found, marijuana seeds, as was found on Gary, a knife, which the officer wants to charge you for, any evidence he finds of anything that he later writes up as a citation or charges you for in court, can become illegal, the fruit of an illegal search. And the only way that can be is if you refuse consent. Because once you consent to a search, it doesn't matter that it wasn't justified to begin with. You have consented. So the general thing to do is say, no, officer, in a loud and clear but polite voice, I do not consent to a search, when the officer requests that, you know, he be able to search you. If he then chooses to do so, then that's his choice. And you shouldn't necessarily physically resist him. That would be perhaps unwise in terms of the actual reality of the situation. You're facing an armed individual. And some of these individuals don't seem too reluctant to draw their weapons, and some don't seem too reluctant to use them, as Brian Andrus and John Dine found out. However, you do have the right to say no, and if you have, and you say no or others hear you, you can establish a record for the future. Continuing, what happened, what we're seeing now is the warrant that he wasn't even arrested on this warrant. He was simply essentially bluffed into admitting to a search, and the officer ended up writing him a ticket for the marijuana seeds that he found that were, or hemp seeds, if you will, that were apparently legal, according to the individual who's, you know, according to Gary, and also a ticket for vending, which was also a bogus charge, according to at least three individuals who were there, including the individual being stopped for this. Let's hear some more.
Not in the state, so you have no.
It doesn't matter, it's a valid warrant. I can't search you.
Well, I mean, you don't drug right, so.
The officer is now searching here, again, who was previously seated here on this planter. He's looking in his pockets, his coat. Again, we have another police officer, community service officer, standing by. Smiling at the side is the host, a fellow in green, and waving kind of idiotically. And then we have Robert Hall is watching. Becky Johnson is doing a little filming.
We don't offer the premise to Ben.
Taxpayer dollars at work, folks. Check it out.
Marijuana seeds. Is there, do you have a reason to have marijuana seeds?
No. Yeah. No? Yeah, we produce protein.
That's a action on Pacific Avenue. Crime. Showing a friend some merchandise. Legal merchandise.
And I wasn't even displaying it.
Don't let anybody get my wallet.
So what do you have in the case? What kind of stuff have you got there?
Hand-blown glass.
So, the crime is showing hand-blown glass to a friend.
Hello.
Do you have my ID?
Yes, I do. You're also being under arrest for possession of marijuana seeds.
Crime, possession of marijuana seeds. Dan Lundgren at work here, folks. Check it out.
I didn't know eating seeds was against the law.
Marijuana seeds are against the law.
Oh, you can call Brandon Burns seed.
I know.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm doing my job here. I appreciate that you didn't interfere. You get that on camera. I'm asking you to stay out of the way. It's okay, because I got my recorder on, too. Okay. I'd appreciate it if you didn't interfere.
I don't think
I have no intention to interfere,
but I guess that's a matter of opinion.
Can you hold the top three?
Yeah, you...
And here Officer Richards requests video journalist Becky Johnson not to interfere. She actually was standing about 6 feet away, simply photographing. She may have made a comment or two. And the officer gave us some interesting information that he was recording the incident, so be advised that when you are speaking to an officer, frequently the best thing to say is nothing. Try to let other people do your talking for you or comment on the criminality of what is going on in terms of the behavior of the police force if that's what's going on at a particular moment. I say criminality because I don't think any gang of organized thugs should be allowed to run a particular bunch of people off the mall just because they don't like the way they're dressed, or they aren't spending enough money, or they're bothering no one, but for some reason this group of people doesn't like them. And that seems to be the case down on Pacific Avenue. It seems to be an organized conspiracy between merchants and police to eliminate the class of poor people down there, which, as we all know, is wrong. And the only question is, what can we do about it to stop it? Police are recording your conversations frequently, and if you are in a public place, you have as much right to record them as they do to record you, unless you ask specifically, am I being recorded, and then they say that they are not recording you, then that is improper. Similarly, if you're recording someone and they have an expectation of privacy, you have to let them know that you're doing it. For all of you intrepid reporters out there, you should be aware of that. The thing generally to remember, in my view, in dealing with police is don't give them any information. Don't answer any questions about a situation where they're obviously investigating you for a crime, which is, in your view, not a crime, whether this be something under the drug war, the drug prohibition war, which fills so many jails and has resulted in so much grief and destroyed so many lives, or we're talking about the war on the poor, which goes on downtown in Santa Cruz daily. The general rule to say to the officer is, am I under arrest? And if he says yes, you say, what is the charge? And then you tell him you don't want to say anything until you speak to a lawyer. He doesn't actually have to advise you of your rights to remain silent unless he or she begins to interrogate you, and then they have to advise you of that. But Gary made some admissions about merchandise and so forth that might not be helpful if the officers bother to take this case to court. Now, they may not, because the witnesses that I spoke with said he wasn't selling anything. He was showing it to a friend, and that's clearly different than vending merchandise. So this is what amounts to a harassment bus, which has a number of impacts. It impacts the individual who is being harassed. It frightens those in the vicinity and his friends, so again, makes them less likely to remain in that area, less likely to feel at ease and comfortable downtown. And it generally creates a situation where police power is enhanced. So that the police, again, they by asserting their authority in circumstances which seem pretty questionable, they may produce some hostility from some, but if they can successfully get away with it, then they establish sort of a track record for themselves. Plus, we have to remember that a lot of police action is revenue-oriented, particularly, for example, with respect to vehicles. They're churning up money for the city. They're not trying to really do stuff that keeps... you know, that deals with real crimes of violence, but they're simply throwing people into the court system, down to people like referee meat grinder Mulligan in the basement of the county building. He's the judge down there, judge in quotes, who will charge you an arm and a leg and let you go, or you can go pay off your fines, huge amounts of fines for such things as sleeping or skateboarding or biking, you name it. And this is the kind of system that we are fighting here in Santa Cruz, that we are trying to change. And again, some folks have thought to change it by the procedures B.E. Smith, freedom fighter up in, is it Shasta or Trinity Counties, I'm not sure, is suggesting, and apparently has successfully used. We heard him a week ago on the air talking about this, saying, take me to a magistrate, I'm not signing anything in the case of infractions or vehicular code violations that are harassments. And that involves the police then have to take you before a judge, which takes up a lot of their time, or they face civil penalties. At least that's the theory. Now, we haven't seen in Santa Cruz where that's been successfully used, though some cases have come through from other counties, which give us a positive sense of that may indeed be something we can use to rein in this kind of low-level police state that we got going here. Again, continuing with this bust, and we'll be hearing some of the conversations around folks who were observing it.
I'm not displaying these. I'm holding them for the officer so he can search my case.
You want to set them down? Because I'm going to search this too.
Gary Groy being placed under arrest for possession of edible seeds.
Arrested for possessing marijuana seeds here in Santa Cruz. Check it out, folks.
Very nice. Nice pipes.
I have no proof that I even displayed them.
I watched you.
I didn't open anything. I let my friend look at it.
Yeah,
I let
you look at it. I can there every month.
For jaywalking on the mall.
What's your name?
My name is David Baum from Wisconsin.
And David, when did this happen?
It happened last summer.
And where did it happen?
In front of the metro.
And what time of day was it?
It was about noon, high noon during the day, and I walked across the street without using the jaywalking thing. They came up on me and they said that I was under arrest on my honeymoon for jaywalking, and I started to run and I felt the billy club smack me in the back of the head, and I woke up when I was all bloody and got taken to the hospital and spent 3 months in county.
And what were you eventually held in county for?
They used the excuse that I swung on him to get away with it.
And who was the officer?
Officer Martin and his partner on bicycles and spandex.
Are these Santa Cruz police officers, or were they...
They were Santa Cruz police officers patrolling the mall.
Did you plead guilty, or did you...
I pled guilty to get off in a lesser sentence because I didn't want to deal with anything. I'm homeless, I have no money, and all I had was a public defender.
Mind if I play this on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
I would love it. And God bless America.
Thank you.
And we're interrupting this kind of analysis of a bust on the mall. And again, we're talking about a completely, looks like a spurious bust for having some glass pipes in a traveling case, and then based on a search, finding some edible marijuana seeds. We're going to return to this later, but at the moment, we've just gotten a call from San Jose. We're going to join that call. We're talking to...
Hi there, caller. Who are you?
Hi, my name is Adam Welch, and I'm from San Jose Food Not Bombs.
And Adam, you've been working with San Jose Food Not Bombs for a while. What do you do over there?
Well, we serve free food in the park every Saturday in the afternoon. And we get food that would otherwise get wasted and by businesses or stores. And we use it to cook up some good food and serve it in the park.
And recently, we talked about your case a week ago when, I guess 2 weeks ago in the San Jose Mercury News, there was sort of a smear story put out against homeless people in St. James Park.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, well, basically the story was we recently found out yesterday that this story, one of the candidates running for mayor put the Mercury News or asked them to write this article. And I think the mayor candidate, its name is Pat, or I just know his first name, or her first name. But and in this article, the writer quoted these people from these neighborhood associations, and they claim to represent the residents who live in the downtown area surrounding St. James Park, which is the area, which is the park where the homeless, it's like the homeless, you know, hangout park, and basically like all kinds of people from downtown, students, working people, not working people, homeless, not homeless, all kinds of people hang out there.
Meet and mingle, huh?
And, gosh. And so, in these quotes, the business people say how, or the downtown, or excuse me, the neighborhood association people say how they'd like to remove the homeless people from the park, and that they would like one person who's from one of the neighborhood associations, Sue Cam. She says, this is a direct quote from the article. She says, "The more of us, the normal working people, the less of them, the social problem." And she says she has an organization called take back the park, or take back our park, where her and her friends, her cronies, they go to the park and they eat lunch for like a half an hour, and they sit in the park, and then they run away really fast. And so, and then that's their effort to take
back.
Well,
they kind of do the same thing you do, don't they, Adam, except that they don't share their lunch with other people.
No, they're not into sharing, and these people claim to be the residents, and these people have just recently moved into the downtown, and they've only within the last 5 or 10 years, but that park has been under the use and basically belonging to the real constituency of the downtown, which is poor people, and that's been that way since the 20s. So these people have come along in the last couple of years, and they claim to represent all the residents, ignoring the current residents and the majority of the residents, and they proclaim being the few and the wealthy and the upper class residents, that they're the rightful residents, and they want to kick all the homeless people out of the park.
Well,
and we also found out that these neighborhood associations aren't even part of the residents. They're just a few, they're totally defunct, and they're only like a few people, and most of them are like fronts for basically the Downtown Business Association, which a lot of the people are members of.
In San Francisco, the original prosecution of Food Not Bombs in 1988, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. began in the Haight-Ashbury area when essentially real estate attorneys who were kind of this sort of phony front, a neighborhood association just like yours, they were called the Coal Valley Improvement Association, got together with the police department and essentially initiated massive arrests of homeless, not so much homeless people, but food servers with Food Not Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the community responded by supporting Food Not Bombs, by coming out and getting arrested with them. First day, 9 were arrested, then I guess a month later, 26, then 53, and then the police department saw the writing on the wall and backed off.
What did the writing on the wall say?
The writing on the wall said, you arrest 53, there'll be 250 the next time. And they then entered into negotiations with Food Not Bombs for them to have permits, and of course that whole process led to further arrests down the road. But for about a year, there were very few arrests of Food Not Bombs in Golden Gate Park because people stood up and stood with Food Not Bombs. You yourself are, of course, part of Food Not Bombs 1998 in San Jose,
uh-huh.
and you have been continuing to feed people weekly in spite of occasional threats by the police department. And I understand, I guess, by the merchants' associations, the claim that you're the problem, not just the homeless people. You soup providers are the real criminals, right?
According to, we attended a business association meeting, or the Downtown Business Association meeting last year. And in this meeting, they talked about not only how they plan to get rid of the homeless, or they discussed the different ways to remove, as they said, the non-middle class people, as they call them. And they also talked about removing food service, and they talked about this in the article too. And so they see that as like a key way. And
well, I guess last week we learned that we had a phone interview with you, which we played on the air, mm-hmm. that in order to clarify what had gone on and protest the misinformation given in this Mercury News article about the bums and skunks and punks and drunks and all that sort of thing, mm-hmm. being in the park. You walked to the house of one of the people quoted in the article, and he apparently told you that he had been misquoted. He apologized, and you won something of a victory there.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Yeah, that's we went down to his house, and we brought some banners down there, and we were out there just voicing, saying that. Well, we knew he was home because like the door was open, and the lights were on, and he was like recharging his electric car because he cares so much about the environment. And and so we're out there saying, stop sending the police after us. We know you're quoting the article. I'm telling him to come out. And
but do you think that he came out and just simply because he felt intimidated, or did he actually feel he'd been misquoted? What's the real story there?
We don't really know exactly. We're kind of discussing that at our meeting, like why would he come out? Because he said when we were talking with him when he came out, he said, well, he saw us, but he wasn't sure if we were booing at him, but he had a few things to do. And so he went and did those things, Then when he still saw us, he figured, well, I guess they are booing at him. And then he decided to come out, which sounds kind of...
How many of you were there outside his house?
Like 10 or 12.
So it shows a certain amount of courage for him to come and face a group of strangers he doesn't know that is obviously hostile to him.
I guess so, and he came to the park this week and, kind of like, we told people, like, this is one of the people who was quoting the articles. He's been causing all the police to come to the park in even a greater fury than before. And, well, people kind of asked him straight up, asked him, like, well, how come you're in this article? How can you stand for this? And people told him, like, what was happening to them, the tickets that they faced. And, well, I think he was pretty nervous for a while.
Did he share food with you at all, or did he...
No, he didn't have any food.
Did you share food with him?
Oh, no, he didn't want any food.
I see, but
he'd already eaten.
But did he come over to you to speak to you, or did you go over to him when he emerged in the park?
Well, when we came in the park, he was already there waiting for us, and then he kind of like...